episode 11 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded December 2nd, 2014. The best of 2014. So 2014, what do you guys think about this year?
In general?
TV general.
Oh, awesome.
TV general.
Good year.
Good year for TV.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It has been a spectacular year. And I will say this with a caveat. Mm-hmm. For network TV. Or
network TV, it's been a bloodbath.
Yeah, for network TV, it's not. That's what I meant.
I don't know if I have any network.
Terrible.
I don't think I have any network shows in my top five.
Yeah,
there's a couple in my top ten, surprisingly, but that's sort of tail end stuff that's already gone. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath for network TV, but it was a great year for streaming, for cable.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Impressive amount of quality TV.
Yeah, especially if you like dramas.
And that's what we're doing this episode. Hey, by the way, let's do introductions before I get into all that. I'm Grant Davis.
I'm Randy Lander.
I'm Gregory J. Amani Smith.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How many names do you need there, Greg?
I got four. Well, because I'm a big man.
And this year we're doing our best, or this episode, we're doing our best of 2014. We'll probably also talk about the worst of 2014.
Yeah.
And a little bit.
2014
yeah.
stuff. Yep. But we're probably jumping the gun here, but you're going to get, you geeky listeners, you're going to get inundated with a ton of top lists.
Yep.
We want to be at the forefront, so.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, what else is going to happen the next 3 weeks? Nothing's going to happen the next 3 weeks.
Nothing.
No. There's no new shows coming.
Oh, boy. Well. No.
In fact, we're going to be doing our preview of 2015
pretty soon anyway. There's a flood of January shows.
Awesome January shows coming back.
Yeah. So before we get into that, I would first like to read some iTunes 5-star ratings that we got. So what these people did, they went to the iTunes store, looked up the TV Dudes, and gave us 5 stars, and then also wrote us a little bit review. And if you guys do that, we'll read it on the show. Our first one comes from Jordan Worth Cobb. That I only just because I know his name. He's Joe Woko.
Yeah.
he says... Title is Helpful Channel Guide. He says, ever since they began years ago, I've enjoyed the TV Dudes podcast. Thanks to all the great TV out there, there's so much I could miss, so it's great whenever I hear of something from Randy, Grant, Greg, and Johnny that might be a favorite of mine, be it a new debut or an old show that went under my radar. These are great guys and give great opinions on what's on the airwaves and related news.
Aww.
If you're wondering what to check out on Netflix, might want to give these couch potatoes a listen.
Oh, that's very nice. I got to take issue with one thing. We're not great guys. We're all bastards.
Yes.
Go to hell, Jordan. Whoa.
No.
Why did we do that?
Thank you, Jordan. It was very nice.
Jordan.
That's great. That's awesome. Thank you, Jordan. We really appreciate it. That guy was also on the show a couple years back.
He was.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, a little cameo.
That's right. Review us on iTunes, and you too can be on the show.
Yeah.
Wink.
Our next one comes from, that is not a name. It's like Morse code. It's like hyphen, hyphen, period, hyphen.
Hyphen, period, hyphen. Yeah.
Yeah. You know this person?
No.
Their title is Give Them a Chance. You Won't Be Disappointed. And they said, after a year since Spill shut down, I've looked, Spill.com that is, I've looked for something to fill the void, as I'm sure others have. Between Double Toasted, Rage Select, and One of Us, the TV Dudes will complete that void. Very entertaining and funny as hell. I found a new podcast to enjoy.
Oh, that's very nice.
That is cool. That's very, very cool.
We get to be included among that echelon of other people in that post-spill network.
We know all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, we
know all of them. We're sick of them.
That's why we all broke up.
That's why we're over here doing our own thing.
Yeah,
they were all bastards. We're all nice guys. See, I'm totally reversing.
Thanks again for those iTunes shout outs and everyone else listening. Go do that. It really helps us out. Gives us better visibility. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And listen to those other guys too, because they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're doing their thing.
We also have some questions to answer. So we put up a posting on our Facebook and on our Twitter to ask, solicit for questions, and we got a bunch of them. So like us on there if you guys want to be asking us questions on the next episode. First one comes from Kevin Moreno. He said, who would be a perfect actor to play Iron Fist? Also, I never thought I would say it, but Randy, you were right about Gotham. It is a bad show.
Don't you know you need to listen to Randy about any of those?
What I want to know is, does he mean he didn't think he'd be Gotham would be bad, or he didn't think I could be right? I don't know which one of those is less likely. Do we have an Iron Fist, or have they not cast him?
They have not cast Iron Fist.
Okay. Wow.
I have my pick already.
I do not have a pick. What's your pick?
Charlie Hunnam. He was just wrapping up Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
And I think he'd be a great pick.
Is he the main guy?
He's the guy also from Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I don't have a pick. That's better. That's my pick, too. I'm stealing your pick.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my pick, too. Even though I have no idea what you're talking about.
Next question comes from Kyle Shuttler. He says, what's your favorite underrated show or a critically praised show you feel nobody is watching?
Nobody.
Nobody's watching.
Critically praised show. Rectify could always use more viewers.
I agree.
That's just a smaller show since it's on Sundance.
You know the one, and I think Greg will probably agree with me on this, is The Americans.
Yes, I think more people need to watch
The Americans. Is like some of FX's best stuff, and it should be at least getting the Justified audience.
Yes.
But it seems to be not, it doesn't have those people.
I would say F2. I'd say The Nick is one. Because it's got a lot of press, but I'm not quite sure how the ratings are for it.
Right.
And then just as a streaming thing, Alpha House is hilarious. I just watched the last two seasons. I powered through a lot of it last night doing some homework and stuff.
I hear Transparent should be on that list as well.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet because I wanted to watch Alpha House first. But
if Johnny was here, he'd go on and on about it, I'm sure.
The stuff that Gary Trudeau is doing with Washington and it is like the perfect thing between House of Cards and Veep. It just fits in that world beautifully. And the cameos they have of other politicians in there are great. So
cool. All right, next question is from Alejandro Rey Zapata. He says, have any of you been watching Star Wars Rebels? If so, how do you like it?
Ooh, I have.
Randy.
I have. I love Rebels.
Ooh.
Yeah?
I've been catching up on it. I liked the Clone Wars cartoon, but I definitely never felt like...
There were two Clone Wars cartoons, right?
There was the Tartakovsky stuff, which I love.
Yeah.
Which was short little 3 to 5 minute animated action-heavy ones.
And then they had the giant 11
and they did a big six seasons, I think.
Seasons,
the last one is Netflix only.
I'd say 11 seasons. Seemed like forever.
I got it on a long time. It was one of these, weird Cartoon Network. They showed 100 times a day.
Right. Bizarre, yeah.
But I got the Blu-ray set for Christmas last year. I'm just this week digging into the second season. It is good, but not great. It's got really good action, but it has a lot of those Lucas-y touches that make it a little weaker. Mm-hmm. Rebels is like if you took the early days of the classic Star Wars, blended it about Firefly and made that show. It's really cool seeing all the original stuff, the early TIE fighters and stormtroopers and little troop transports and stuff, the little stuff you might recognize if you were a kid in the 70s and got those old action figures and stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. Sort of proto walkers and that kind of stuff. It's like the early technology, and the rebellion hasn't quite fully formed yet, so they're all like little cells. So it follows this group that's aboard this stealth ship called the Ghost. They all use code names. They're all Spectre 1, Spectre 2, all this kind of thing.
That's cool.
And so it's like a small group of like 5 or 6 characters, so you can get to know all of them. It's got a sense of humor. It's got the lead character is a kid voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr., which I expected to hate, but he's really interesting. He's fun. My daughter really got into the show because it's approachable to her because there's a teenage kid.
Do any of them have Jedi powers?
He is, yes, the lead kid has Jedi, is force sensitive, and the leader of their cell, Kyle Katarn is his name, is a Jedi.
Oh, so cool. is this after Clone Wars, but before A New Hope?
Correct. Right. Yeah, it is right.
So he doesn't have force powers because no one has force powers until Luke.
No, there was still Jedi floating around.
There
are.
No.
Uh-oh.
But it's really another thing I wasn't crazy about. I was like, I don't know if I want there to be Jedi. There's not supposed to be any Jedi, but they're keeping it very low key. Like if him being a Jedi is a big deal. When the lightsaber comes out, when he uses the lightsaber, it's a big deal because they've just basically made themselves a target.
Yeah.
So the big thing on this is Greg Weisman, the guy who was behind Young Justice and Spectacular Spider-Man and Gargoyles, is one of the showrunners.
Awesome.
And his influence definitely shows. It's very character-driven. It also does have great action stuff, really great animation.
They have those scenes with heart.
And it's got some heart. I love this show more than I ever expected to. It is definitely, if the Star Wars teaser had not sort of dragged me back kicking and screaming into being a Star Wars fan again, Rebels would have done it already. So yes, watch it. It's great.
Cool. All right, next question is from Michael Gastini. He says, what was the show of the year that you feel was most overly hyped and you are sick of hearing about people talking about it? For him, True Detective.
Does it have to be good or just hyped?
Hype.
Gotham.
Hyped. Overly hyped.
Gotham's overly hyped.
Gotham, yeah. I mean, I remember them running a Gotham stuff in the 24 revival. Anything on NBC, because I hate the way they hype. Like, what's that terrible cop show with...
you're going to have to be more specific.
I know. The one before, what's her name? The Wednesday night chick cop flick stuff. What's her name? God damn it. Grayson.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking. Okay, yeah, Law and Order, and then the one before that now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Law and Order, SVU.
LA Law.
No. Law and Order, SVU, and then you have the one where she's
CSI.
Like... No, where she's like the...
Who's she? Who are you talking about?
It's a female. I cannot remember her name, with the red hair.
This sounds way overhyped, whatever you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
Never heard of whatever you're talking about.
When I say it, you know...
Blue Bloods.
Red hair. I don't know what you're talking
about.
The closer.
No. Okay. Move on. I'll find
it. Okay, we're going to move on. I would say that True Detective Season 1 was not really overhyped. In fact, it was just kind of this mystery no one knew about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say Season 2 is definitely overhyped.
Oh, yeah.
It is just a... no one has anything else to talk about.
There's no way it's going to be as good as we're all expecting.
I think with True Detective, it just gained because people watched it like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. And it was January.
Brace for backlash on Season 2. There's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, why do we like this show? And it's going to be good.
It's going to be, it's not going to be able to meet people's expectations
at this point.
Because they've put it on such a pedestal. All right. Our next question is from Kyle Volte. He says, what was the most emotional TV moment?
Oh, man. I hate these questions because I wish I could think of them.
I have one.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I just saw it for some stupid reason. When Don's daughter walked in on him.
Oh, that was pretty devastating.
That was like, oh, shit. Yeah. She dropped the keys and he was like, that was like, then the shit's hitting the fan because you already got the thing with the Betty stuff, the stuff with his ex-wife, and even also with his new wife, Megan, with them laying in bed and they were talking on the phone and just how empty the relationship was. I really wanted hope for Don and Megan, but they were literally on two different coasts. And
I would say for a lot of people, they would point to. A certain wedding in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But for me, I would point to, also in Game of Thrones, the trial of Tyrion.
That was great.
Yeah.
His acting, I don't want to go into too many spoilers.
Right, right.
But there's a particular moment, and you just see heartbreak on his face. And that
yes.
I felt that just as well.
Was the question emotional moment or?
Emotional.
I got two, actually, now that I think about it.
Okay.
One was actually the end of the pilot for A to Z. When they sort of did the meet cute at the end and sort of got together. I thought that was a really nice emotional moment. I think that was a good affecting.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of things, The Leftovers. When Carrie Coon? Isn't that her name?
What's her name in the show?
I don't remember her name in the show. But when she comes downstairs and finds her family all posed at the table, that was a heartbreaker. That was a rough one.
That and when she breaks down crying in Holy Wayne's arms, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Nora. That was the name of it.
Leftovers is probably your go-to for emotional moments.
That's a great point.
I'm sorry. I found the show I was talking about.
What was the show?
It's The Mysteries of Laura. She's got red hair. What is her name? It's killing me.
Yeah, The Mysteries of Laura? That show's not even on the air anymore.
I know, but it was hyped up so much that it drove me nuts. What the hell is this woman's name? Look at her.
Deborah Messing.
Thank you.
Deborah Messing.
God,
there you go.
That's why we didn't know what you were talking about. You were talking about a show that was on for three weeks and went away.
But because it just the hype behind it drove me insane. Actually, no. And then the other hype would be State of Affairs with Katherine Heigl, which cannot go away soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on from the questions right now, and we're going to jump into some of the TV news.
All right, so relatively light in the news, but some interesting news.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox has ordered a new pilot based on a Warren Ellis comic series called Global Frequency, which is a show that basically there's a woman named Miranda Zero who runs this network of experts. They all are on call. They have the secret phones. They can be on call for, you know, if they're a doctor or an operations expert or whatever, for whatever crazy bleeding edge science fiction problems mm-hmm. come up. The comic was 12 issues, had things like an Air Force cyborg that had gone out of control and they needed to shut it down, and a disease that was spreading through thought and that kind of thing.
So it's like all these experts around the world that all have pagers?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
That's exactly right. they did a pilot years ago that did not go, had Michelle Forbes in the role.
I remember there was a pilot.
It was really good.
I heard, and it was like really well received from a lot of mm-hmm. the geek community.
But it never made it to air. It was canceled. They didn't go ahead with it.
Huh.
This time, Jerry Bruckheimer is producing.
Oh, okay. And it's going places now.
Farscape and Defiance creator Rockne S. O'Bannon is writing, which is if you're a geek, that's good geek cred.
Wait, Farscape and what else?
Defiance, which is a new sci-fi show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
But they're working on it for what network? I'm looking. Let's see.
Fox.
Is it Fox? Yeah. Okay. So Fox is where this probably should be.
Yeah.
It's going to be Global Frequency is a show that can be procedural and yet interesting.
Mm.
So this could definitely be a good thing.
I'm definitely intrigued.
It sounds interesting. Yeah, and it sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
The way they describe it is, and this is probably why it's working now and it didn't, he was a little ahead of his time. It's a crime-fighting operation that uses worldwide crowdsourcing to solve crimes the police cannot. And that's actually the crowdsourcing is the way to describe it. It's crowdsourced experts.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes that's a buzzword, whereas it wasn't when the original pilot went, which is probably why it's getting picked up now.
I mean, how does that work, though, with casting? Do you just have like a bunch of cameos all the time?
I think you've got to do a lot of guest actors, and then right. Miranda Zero, and you have a couple in the original pilot. She had a couple main operatives,
mm-hmm.
and then they brought in experts every time.
So it's kind of like there's this SHIELD unit, basically, but they also just pick up strays here and there where they need them.
You know how Law and Order always has guest stars?
Yes.
You know who the murderer is,
right? Mm-hmm.
Well, instead they could have a guest star who is the guest expert, so it wouldn't give away the whole story.
That's kind of cool. That's exciting.
I actually think it's one of the best things for network TV. They can do procedural and still be fun.
Yeah, and they can maybe entice some killer guest stars, or maybe some even like really big cameos, like Bruce Willis or something like that.
Yeah. Two bits of news from Netflix. The show Black Mirror just showed up on Netflix.
Now wait, I've never heard of it, but you were like telling me I need to go watch it.
It's a British sci-fi show. The best thing to know is you don't want to know too much about it. The less you know, the better. It's by Charlie Brooker, who did the zombie Big Brother show Dead Set,
mm-hmm.
who does a lot of sort of very social media aware stuff. It is basically like a modern day Twilight Zone. They're sort of modern sci-fi about sort of how social media affects things mm-hmm. and how people...
This Charlie Brooker guy, he did this show called Screen Wipe, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you can watch a bunch of these little video clips of it on mm-hmm. YouTube.
Yeah.
Greg, you would eat the shit up.
Okay.
He's very smart cultural critic.
Good. Yeah. It's like how he's going into the behind the scenes of like how people edit reality TV
to kind of manipulate
people.
It's an anthology show. There are 6 different episodes. Drop what you're doing. I mean, if this had aired this year, it would be up there with Fargo and True Detective as art for my best show.
Wow.
I love this show. It's very smart. It's very dark. It's got some... Haley Atwell is in one of them. Mm-hmm. You know her from Captain America, Winter mm-hmm. Soldier.
Agent Carter.
She's great in that. There are a few other names that you'll see if you watch any kind of British TV at all. You'll know some people. Do not look at Netflix's description because at least 2 of them spoiled the twist.
Good to know.
Yeah, so
really,
just put it on and watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm very excited to watch it.
Six episodes. They're 48 minutes. One of them is an hour long. Pretty short. Pretty quick. So good. Some of the best TV I've seen.
Wow. Excellent.
Also coming to Netflix in March is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is the new Tina Fey show.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a game changer because this is an NBC show, and NBC had already funded and shot the 13 episodes. Like, it's done. It's not edited, but it's more or less done.
And they just decided to not pick it up.
And their comedy brand is cratered. They can't launch comedies anymore. So I think to salvage their relationship with Tina Fey, they just said, hey, we'll sell this to Netflix. It's a great deal for them. They get the money.
Right.
Netflix gets this big content that they could never afford to do on their own.
Right.
And Tina Fey. It's basically just presented to them.
So they sold it over to them?
Yeah, it's sold over to Netflix. So...
And Netflix, man, I mean, saving people, and it's good for them to be in bed with Tina Fey.
Yeah.
That's money right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pitch on this one is that it is Ellie Kemper, who I've always liked.
Mm-hmm.
She is someone who was in a cult who is now trying to make it in New York City. She, like, her cult fell apart, or she was rescued, and she was raised in a cult, and now she's going to be sort of this, I'm going to guess, naive girl. The promo says it's her first day of everything, so it's going to be naive girl in the big city.
She plays that all the time.
Yep.
She's basically the current man, or what do you call it, woman child, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
In TV.
I'm really looking forward to it. It should be really funny, and I'm glad it's not going to be on NBC where it would get low rating and get canceled.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally, we have one more story that's...
this is more of a commentary,
yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. 30 movies being adapted into TV shows ranked from worst to best idea.
So I came across on this site, Slash Film.
This is cool.
They actually wrote out all these different shows. Yeah. In fact, I think it was 31 of them.
Yep.
31 different movies that are being currently adapted to TV shows.
Wow. Yeah.
And... they ranked them on like what they think might actually have success and what sounds the worst. But what was more notable is there's 31 of them.
There's 31 of them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's just next season, right? Isn't this just
that's
like
next season?
Yeah.
It's like currently in development. 31 shows based on movies.
I mean, a lot of them aren't going to get picked.
No.
Oh, so there's no net. There's not networks attached to them already?
Some of them there are.
Okay. I would say most of them have networks they're developing for.
Okay.
But it doesn't guarantee they're going to get picked up by the network. It's just there's that many that are in development.
It speaks to the lack of the willingness to take chances that the networks have right now.
Yeah.
Is they're diving so deep into this well of stuff that worked 10, 20 years ago.
And you know what's funny? Nuts. It's like, now I feel old with this because when they did it, when we were from the 90s into the 70s, you know, I don't remember a lot of the 70s shows. So I'm like, oh, but now I have these clear memories of whatever these movies are from the 90s. I'm like, no, I can go watch it. And the other thing is, like, back then, it was like you had to go get the tape, so you really couldn't. Or if it was old TV shows, they didn't necessarily have them readily available. Now you can actually go and like, oh, they're redoing, I don't know.
Bachelor Party?
Oh, I can go and watch it. They're redoing Bachelor.
That
should only be a movie.
You know, actually, Bachelor Party is one you could do a 13 episode, like, over the course of the night, getting crazier and crazier.
I don't know. I don't. Not
for
me.
I can see it working.
Not for me, because Bachelor Party, and kids don't know this, but Tom Hanks in, like, the early to mid-age, from his days on Bosom Buddies up until about probably Hudson Hawk. Not Hudson Hawk. What's that other? The Tom Wolfe book they did that was terrible.
Yeah, Bomb for the Vanities.
Yeah, where that kind of created his career for a second. Tom Hanks was the shit in comedies.
Yeah.
That dude is hilarious. And makes that movie.
If you like Tom Hanks, you might like the big TV show that's coming.
Oh, jeez. Are they doing Joe versus Volcano yet?
I'm sure it's a funny movie.
Or Volunteers.
Volunteers actually could be a show.
Volunteers would be a good one.
Of these 30 shows, looking at them, almost all of them I could see working. I could see almost any of these working as a show.
Big.
But most of them aren't going to.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of them are going to be terrible.
What are some of the... I didn't get a chance to see the list. What are some
Marley and Me.
That's fine.
Seriously,
I don't care about that.
Just name a movie.
There's a show.
Yeah. But we'll include the link in our post.
Yeah, please.
So
I want to see this.
But it's crazy.
It's
nuts. Like I say, I bet that out of that list, there might be one or two good shows.
What was number one, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have it pulled up anymore.
Okay.
But let's go ahead and take a break, guys, because we're going to come back and talk about good TV of this current year.
Best rapper alive. Says the best rapper retired. Best rapper alive, says the best rapper alive. High as a sun, I'm a god, son of a stunner, high as a 757, gone to heaven. Go F your reverend, preach about me. I'm the God, 17, Apple and E. I'm the cash money, Mac belly, y'all ain't ready. Quick bands like Tom Petty, y'all just petty. 82, I was born ready, I'm too ready. Y'all penny, crack a ball of blockers, I'm too heavy.
A terrible segue. This is difficult, guys.
Yeah.
This is really, really difficult.
Yeah, it was like pulling teeth. It's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah.
Actually, that's easy for you.
I have one. Yeah. But But picking the top five shows, we all went through and made a list of our five best shows of 2014. That's new and returning shows, all included. And it was a struggle. And we've done this for the past like 4 or 5 years.
I'm sorry, did you say best 25?
Five.
I thought you were going to have to cut five.
20 of
okay. this. Your top 55.
Well, then let me do some more cutting.
Oh, geez. But so we're going to go through our lists round robin style. And I guess who wants to start?
We can start from five down.
Greg, would you like to kick us off with your number five?
Number five.
Your fifth favorite show.
Damn it.
Of this year.
Of this year. I'm looking at this list right now.
Are you still rearranging?
No, right. No.
Let's start with Randy.
All right, I got my list.
I was gonna go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
I am obsessive about this kind of stuff. I've got it all broken down. I have my list. And my number five show is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Really?
And this is in a great year. And the reason is that show has been on fire this year.
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show has been so consistently good. Even with the changing, correspondence. Jon Stewart has been totally on point. John Oliver came in for a little while.
This is the year that John Oliver came in and then he
just kicked ass.
Spun that into his own show.
And then Jon Stewart came back. That show has been so consistently good this year. It's in my top five. In a year which includes, I mean, stuff that did not make the cut there, Game of Thrones is not in my top five because Daily Show is that good.
Wow.
Daily Show is one of those shows, like, if I had to choose, and this is how I did my criteria. It's like, if I had to choose, this is one of the five shows I would watch.
I always do the DVR test for mine. And, like, if it's either I watch it live or I don't wait more than a day.
I watch The Daily Show within an hour of it being... The only time I don't is if I get busy and then I watch a couple of them, like, marathon. But yeah, it is a show. I'm surprised that you guys, that's in my top five, but I was doing the ranking and going through just sort of, well, okay, I watched this before this and this, and it's my top five show.
That's kind of awesome, though.
That's good.
I mean, and it was so good that it warranted us going back and doing an episode on all of the late night shows that basically have spawned from The Daily Show, because it's all, like, permeated all of our culture. We're all talking about it right now.
And it's the talent farm. And you look at how many comedians, people in comedy shows right now. There's some that come from SNL, but a lot of them come out of The Daily Show. And
very true.
Movie stars, too. So, yeah.
Well, Greg, what's your number five?
Okay, well, that makes... Well, I kind of clarified it for myself. So, my number five is The Americans.
The Americans.
I love The Americans.
First of all, going back to the question before about emotional scenes... If just for the 69 scene, which I had never seen on TV, I'm like, holy shit, what is that?
That's one of the most memorable moments of 2014.
Like, holy mackerel.
That was one of the most emotional ones for me.
It was emotional, because it was like, that's so sexy and such a turn on. But just the tension of that show is like, I have my DVR test where I'm either watching it live or I watch it like right after it's off, or it's on it when something else is on. So, you know, I end up staying up way too late one night watching on the TV.
Yep.
And just the knots, where the whole attack on the family, the whole how that, even in the way it ended, because it's with the American guy, they kept trying to turn for that. And I just like, I don't know, it just kept me in knots the whole time I was watching it.
It was a great season of TV.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we are all over the place on our top five because, or our rank five, because mine is Rick and Morty.
Wow.
That show, new cartoon from the minds of Justin Roiland, who you got to interview.
Yes, I did.
And Dan Harmon, who I feel more so put his name on it to help elevate its status.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Because I think it's more just Justin Roiland's baby. But, oh, man, that cartoon, it's twisted, it's irreverent, it's hitting all these sci-fi notes that I want. It surprises me week after week with its episodes. And it was a short run, but I'm so excited that they're coming back that I like actively follow their Twitter. Mm-hmm. I want to know everything that's going on. I can rewatch those episodes over and over and get something new from them.
Yeah.
It is such a great fucked up comedy.
Yeah.
And it just blows me away that we're getting something like that. So that definitely had to be on my top five. Let's move on to number four.
All right, number four for me, this is a little more obvious, Orange is the New Black Season 2.
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's on someone's list.
Oh, man. So good. Season one was really, really good and surprising. It came out. You know, that was the one. They were all hyping House of Cards.
Yeah.
And then Orange is the New Black came out. And that was the one that everybody was talking about and that was so great. Season two, the expectations were there now. People knew it could be good.
Sure.
And they brought in V as the bad guy.
She was
And she was amazing. Great. And they deepened all the characters. They made it more of an ensemble and less a Piper show.
Something interesting about this season is before I had started watching it,
mm-hmm.
I thought I had heard like secondhand some negative things about it. Like
it was probably from me.
People weren't
because I didn't finish the first season. I was like, this is all right, but I just don't care about the characters. But
I feel like there's some critic reviews maybe I read or saw headlines of.
I mean, yeah.
I was so surprised because once I watched it, yeah. It is excellent.
Yeah,
I would say it's better than season one.
I think
you're talking about season two. In
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah,
I think it takes season one and improves upon a lot of things.
Agreed.
It really knows like how to balance that because there's a lot of waffling with the Jason Biggs storyline. Yeah. I felt in the first season.
That's why
I think they kind of know what they're doing.
And that's what drove me away. I was like, I can't deal with this guy.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, I read an interview with the real Jason Biggs, guy, and he sounds nothing like it. I mean, he talks about the stories they used, and he's okay with being portrayed as sort of this nibber. He's like, hey, it's fiction. They got to do, you know, they got to make it interesting. But he's like,
there's someone who's portraying me. That's kind of cool.
He's like, that's not what it sounds like. The story they are telling, it's obviously very a fictionalized Piper and Larry.
Yeah.
But what's really important is the ensemble and the way they've diverted from the book.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the book and listened to it as an audiobook, and it was good and it's interesting. But the book is very much the launching pad. And there was more of it in season one. Season two felt like more of its own thing and started getting more of the fictionalized. And I think it got a lot stronger because
once they weren't held back by Piper Kerman.
Right.
They were able to
Piper, because Piper's story in the prison is nothing like Piper's story in...
It no longer seems like hindered by this looking glass from the waspy elitist.
Yeah, well, I remember that was one of your issues with the first season.
That was
I don't know about this.
That's what turned me off. Right? I just don't care about this.
Because it kind of it felt like this elite voyeurism into the world of
we were watching The Tourist.
Yeah. Which by the way is one of the things that was holding me up. I know about that podcast the
Serial.
Serial. It's like it's always
Serial
like,
it kind of does a similar thing.
I haven't listened to it. Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but it's just that kind of voyeur like fucked up voyeurism for rich white people.
Yeah, I felt it. I felt a lot more in the first season of Orange is the New Black than I did with Serial. But
okay.
At any rate, Orange is the New Black season two definitely did not feel like that. It was like we were suddenly there with the inmates and we were getting to see all of them. And
good.
It was so good. I am very much looking forward to a season three. I went back and rewatched the last season of Weeds.
Really?
Wow.
Because I always liked Weeds, but
you just
didn't
like
love
Jen
it.
G. Cohen.
But I'm like, okay, if she can do this, I gotta see how she ended Weeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how much I like this. It made me finish another show.
Wow. What you got for number four, Greg?
Number four for me, again, Game of Thrones for me because of just I don't think I ever watched it on DVR. I think I watched it live the whole time.
Yeah.
Moments. It had some of the bigger moments on TV this year.
I would agree.
Spoiler alert, if just the way Joffrey died, which. Yep. I mean, I haven't read the books. I didn't see it coming, and especially that soon. It was like second episode, third episode?
Yeah.
So that was great.
Let's curb other spoilers. Like, let's not say anything else.
Oh, well, it's the end of the year, man.
I know, but some people we might be encouraging some people to watch it.
In fact, the Blu-rays have not hit yet, so they hit their Christmas. Some people
five.
Will be getting it for Christmas.
Season five.
But I would point out that I also had Game of Thrones as my number four.
Oh, okay.
And doesn't it kind of, like... It hurts because this season is one of their best seasons, and it just blew me away.
Yeah.
Like every episode, you just like clinging to every single scene.
Yeah.
And yet I put it at four.
Well, I put it at four only because there were just
There's new novelty.
There's other. And this is like it's like eating your favorite dish. This is great. This is awesome. I love it. I may not eat it every day, but when I eat it, this is the best thing I've ever eaten. Or this is the best TV I'm watching right now. Like when it's on. For me, if it's on, other than maybe one other show. It's the best thing on television.
Yeah,
for me personally.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's number four, but it's like it should be higher, but for this year, it was loaded. Four is good.
You know
me.
What's weird?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones number 9 on my list.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's because it was such a good year for TV.
I mean, that's nuts.
It's crazy. It shouldn't
be. You don't like geeky genre stuff.
I love Game of Thrones.
Anymore. You get out of this nerditorium house.
Can I get his card then?
Flash is number 16, so I maybe lose some cred. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Randy?
I had to be
so discerning. Okay, well, that was my number 4 as well. So what's your number 3, Randy?
Last Week with John Oliver.
Oh, see,
wow!
If Daily Show was on there, had to be. Last Week with John Oliver was one of these shows that it was always going to be good, but he found his groove way faster than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a few weeks back, but it's not just a good show; it's an important show. It's doing the job the news is supposed to be doing. And at the same time it's doing good journalism, it's uproariously funny and absurd.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you should be able to serve those two masters that well, but he's doing both.
No, my top 10 tends to be drama, because I tend to like more drama than comedy or even, I guess, news shows. So that's why I have to have the categories. It's definitely, I would say it's probably my top 10, top 15, because again, DVR test, I almost always watch it live or the next day.
Yeah. Last week with John Oliver, I always watch on Sunday night. And I miss it really bad
right
now. Yeah.
Like, you should be never leave. Just be on.
Yeah. Don't ever leave. Yeah.
I need your commentary on whatever happens each week.
Yeah.
That show's a game changer, I think, for the news landscape. Agreed. I think that people are going to be looking at it. And HBO, yeah.
I mean, HBO doesn't do shows like that.
HBO now sees that they can hold their own, I think, beyond just drama and comedy.
Well, they've always been. I mean, you guys don't watch sports, but real sports has always been really, really, really good. It's really good.
Sure.
No, and then Bill Maher is kind of becoming a caricature of himself, and I think they need to be move on beyond him sometimes. And the other show that I like is actually in my top 25 is Vice. I love Vice.
No, and they do this kind of thing, but they have not had this kind of success with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be able to go ahead and acknowledge social media and put so much of it online is a very smart move on their part.
And the fact that he can bite the hand that feeds him too, which is always good.
What do you got for number 3, Greg?
Number 3 might surprise you, but it shouldn't. I've got True Detective on number 3.
True Detective. Yeah.
Which again, with one of the greatest scenes, I watched it like 10 times in episode 5.
That long cut.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
The more you watch it, the more amazing it is of how Matthew McConaughey, who just won the Oscar, I think, because of True Detective.
Yeah, he won a movie award because of True Detective. Because
in that scene, if you see him when he's like creeping, he's talking to himself, he's hanging up the phone, he's like, Marty, you got to come. And the way he moves the other characters. And he is the focal point of that show. And he's so good that you forget the amazing performance that Woody Harrelson plays too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, whatever ended this, however it ended, I was fine with it.
The ending's perfectly fine. People may have built it up in their mind to be something it wasn't,
but it was not like anything I'd ever seen on TV. And plus, his speech about religion in the revival tent, which is like, as somebody who's basically an atheist, I loved every minute of it. And it just, Helene actually, I think, wrote it down. Because it hit her feel on religion perfectly. And I just, the writing, direction, everything was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 3 for me goes to Fargo.
Wow, really?
Yeah. This show, I mean, you guys know, I'm expecting it to be in y'all's top lists.
It is.
It's there.
Just not that high. Only because it got bumped down, honestly.
Oh, yours isn't in your top 5.
It's
Randy's top 5. Yeah. Oh, man. This show, it gets knocked off a couple points because I felt that it started a little slow for me. I didn't dive in right away. Mm. It took a little bit before it ramped up, but once it did, it was just like candy every week. Oh, I got to see that new episode. The twists and turns, I think it took what the Coen brothers did and did it better.
Well, I agree.
At least in regards to Fargo. I think that it added humor and levity in places that needed it. I thought when it went dark, it went really dark.
And it had a depth of story you can't do in a 2-hour movie.
And that's the thing.
Absolutely,
I think what we're learning in this great year of TV is that you get a showrunner or director or somebody going to, and they look at it as a 13-hour movie. You know, or like a novel where I could do every piece of the novel.
True Detective had one writer,
one right. director. That was a 10-hour movie. That's
right.
what that was.
Right. Mm. And that's why I love that. And I think if TV can go that way, and I really think Louis really started that.
I think you're right. I think he deserves credit for
He deserves credit because basically financially to do it's like, okay, here's $10,000, do what you can. Yeah. And he did everything. But that singular vision, and even though if you followed his comedy and all his other work, and even though he got really surreal, like everybody loves the black white with the two blonde daughters, which is just very surreal, but it works because it's Louis.
Yeah.
And I think more people or just kind of said, if we can get somebody with a vision that we like, let's go with it. And I think
that's great. Absolutely what FX seems to do. They find someone who has vision and they just bank on them. And sometimes they get Tyrant. Sometimes they get Fargo.
Hey, Tyrant,
we just covered my number two and number one. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about both of them.
Shut up. Yeah. You did not have Fargo. Tyrant.
Fargo is number one. True Detective is number two for me.
Oh, okay.
But what I want to say about Fargo is that you said for you it started slowly. I fell instantly and deeply in love with Fargo.
I remember.
Like, it was so my sweet spot right away.
We had that conversation. Yeah. I was like, really?
I mean, True Detective was so easily my favorite new show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fargo came along and just knocked it right off like it was nothing.
Because I remember the tone felt a little off to me.
I was in love with that show from the beginning.
The humor was weird because they had the Goober twins and all that. I don't know.
I loved that show from the outset. And there were so many, not just the main performances by Billy Bob Thornton, who's great, by Martin Freeman, who's great, but little bits like... Kate Walsh as the widow.
Mm-hmm.
She has a little bit part, but she's great in it.
Glenn
Howerton as the trainer. Kean Peele.
Or even
as the FBI
agent. I love Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks is great in it. And of course, you have to talk about...
Oliver Platt, too.
The lead, Molly Salverson.
Yes.
She was amazing. And she came out of nowhere. Alison Tolman came out of nowhere and just... totally led this show full of amazing actors.
I fully expect to see more of her in all sorts of places. I know she's currently doing a little guest spot on Mindy Project, but I really want her on her own show again.
Yeah,
not a CBS show.
I really, really loved Fargo. And I'm a big Coen Brothers fan. I love the movie Fargo.
So that was number two for you.
No, that's number one.
Okay.
Number two is True Detective.
I was going to say, I would be very surprised if you put True Detective over Fargo.
Nope.
No.
Fargo 1, True Detective 2. Okay. That's the way it's been since those two shows aired, and nothing has come close to knocking it off.
Okay. And anything else to add on True Detective?
Nope, that covers... True Detective, we talked about. I mean, that's singular vision, two amazing performances, such beautiful cinematography, and just dark, pitch black crime, totally my
thing. Wait, you know what? Throw that to me, because that's the perfect setup for what my number two is.
All right, what's your number two?
I think the show that did it better, only because the filmmakers...
I know where you're going.
The Nick. The Nick is not like... Okay, my sweet spot, New York.
Yeah.
1900. That's my sweet spot in history where I'll watch anything during that time. I have a man crush on Clive Owen that to the point that we are seriously considering if we have a son naming them Clive. That's how much we love Clive Owen.
Wow.
Or Owen. Yes. I love him that much. And the music is just perfectly pitched. Because it gives you the pulse.
It's so eerie. It's eerie, discordant.
But it's like it's basically like eerie, like electro dance music. But it works there because of just the shooting. And again, it goes to the singular vision of. And I'm totally
Steven Soderbergh.
Thank you, Soderbergh.
Yeah. Who is one of my favorite directors.
His vision. And if you read up a way he thought of that show as like the long movie. They shot it in 70 hours, and he. Purposely,
seriously?
Yes, he purposely kept the light low, so whenever he did the close-ups on the actors, their pupils were huge.
They shot the entire season in 70 hours straight?
Not straight, but 70 hours total.
Oh,
it was
okay.
It was like a couple months, maybe like a month or something. No.
By the way, the music on
is by
Cliff Martinez.
Cliff Martinez, yes.
Who, among other things, also looks like maybe did the music for
He does Soderbergh
Drive.
Stuff. He does Soderbergh stuff a lot.
And did the original game soundtrack for Far Cry 4.
Oh, wow.
No, he's a really amazing musician. The writing is great. The storyline is great.
It is a brilliant show.
It is. I mean,
So you're saying I should watch Beyond Episode 1?
Yes. Seriously, it goes. And you want to talk about dark.
Yeah.
Talk about people who don't really understand medical technology, thinking they're geniuses when they're doing all this crazy stuff.
It was my number 6 or 7 on my list. The show is so good.
I mean, it's not on my list only because I'm behind, but I really want to catch up.
And it's just, it hits all the way Fargo hits for you, this show hits for me.
Yeah.
So it's just, I cannot recommend it enough. It's just kind of like, you know, the season in the life of this crazy doctor. And Thackeray, again, because of Clive Owen and Thackeray, seriously thought Thackeray Smith actually sounds good for a name. Seriously. Because that's how much we love the show.
It's pretty good. Oh, well, let's go ahead and jump into your number one, too, since Randy
It should be pretty obvious what my number one is.
I know. I already wrote it down.
It's Mad Men.
Of course.
As long as Mad Men's on television, unless they have...
There's no way it wouldn't be.
Unless they have something terrible happens, it's always going to be number one for me.
That's Breaking Bad.
It's just...
Exclude it.
I'm at a point where it's hard... I can be objective about the show and realize why other people don't like it. And that's fine because I love it that much. It means, okay, more for me. You know? If you don't like it as much. But where they're going, the anticipation of what's going to happen to Don, what's going to happen to the whole family, what's going to happen to the firm, what's going to happen, how Matthew Weiner is going to place them in time when he's going to end it, because it's 68, 69. 1969, I think.
Yeah, it ends before the 70s.
Right, so it ends before the 70s, so it's going to be ramping up, and we all know the history of what happened in the late 60s and how crazy it got. And some of the, you know, it's like Don's kind of gone all the way around. You know, he was lost with the relationship, lost in identity. He kind of found his identity, then he lost it again, then he found it again, and he's kind of, and like, there's no secrets to him as far like his past life, with his kids, with his wife, with anybody around him, and you want to see, and yet things are passing him by, like, the whole Peggy basically being his boss now, and the way that all happened was beautiful, the transition of all, and all the characters too, Peggy's transition, what's going to happen with her, Pete, who's interesting living in California with his girlfriend and his family falling apart. So, and Bert dying, and then, you know, and even the stuff with Roger's daughter going nuts.
Yeah.
And him having to go get her, and then him realizing his failings as a father. Joan, what's going to happen to her? You know, I don't know. I'm in it. I'm invested in it. I love the show. So for me, it's always going to be number one, and I will be very sad when it leaves.
Grant, are you ready for your number two and your number one?
Yeah.
I'm ready for my number two.
I have a guess on your number one, but I'm curious what your number two is.
My number two is The Leftovers.
Okay, I don't know what your number one is.
Wow, okay.
You know what my number one is.
Right.
I bet I do.
The Leftovers is my number two. This show... In fact, this was another one where it took me a little bit to get fully into it. And as soon as episode 3 hit, that was pretty much it for me. That was the one that had, what's his name? The 10th Doctor.
Former Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Ninth Doctor. Christopher Eccleston.
That was his gambling episode. And seeing that one just all of a sudden hooked me on, okay, Lindelof does know what he's doing with this. I think that he does know how to handle characters. It's not Lost, although you can't help but compare it to Lost because this show deals a lot with cults.
Yeah.
And if anything, I am in a cult of Lindelof because I love the guy.
Right.
I am on board with how he wants to tell stories. I disagree with some of the things the ultimate decisions he makes on things, but I still love the journey taking it with him. I think he knows how to infuse things with a lot of mystery, a lot of clues and Easter eggs that make it exciting to go beyond just the experience of watching it to investigate and discuss with a larger audience. And that is something that is always going to hook me in a show. This one, Leftovers, by the time it was nearing the end of the season, it was just full stride introducing all these other crazy elements that just had me foaming at the mouth and searching Reddit, the subthreads, to be like, oh, what is this? Yeah. What do you guys think of that? What's speculation? And maybe we're chasing a dead end, but I don't really care. It's about the journey for me.
The characters are so good and the cinematography is really good. I marathoned this one and wound up really liking it.
Emotionally, it also really resonates. It's
yeah.
It's talking about grief in a way that I'm able to, you know, I have difficulty with having grown-up feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a robot on those things, but I still enjoy the exploration, and yeah. I get something out of this in a similar way that I got a lot out of 6 Feet Under.
Yeah,
right. And then number one is True Detective for me.
Right.
That show was a complete game changer in the landscape yeah. of TV, and it was so needed.
Yeah.
We needed a new show that like that really revitalized. I mean, I would say that Game of Thrones was already doing it. It was making people like rabid about TV again after maybe a lull since. Well, I mean, it had overlap with Breaking Bad, so it's so good.
And Mad Men too.
And Mad Men, but
you know what? You know
everyone was talking about.
But you know why? Because because let's think about Breaking Bad. You think about Mad Men. You think about Game of Thrones. The one things they did not have. Those shows broke people. I mean, okay, Bryan Cranston, but it elevated him.
Yeah.
I don't know who John Hamm was before Mad Men.
True.
And Game of Thrones. I still have a hard time naming all the characters because there's so many of it. But when you have two bona fide movie stars mm-hmm. coming to that show, you knew it's like, oh, this is interesting. And that, I think, was not only did they come to the show, and it was revolutionary the way they did it. And I think the two movie stars having, especially McConaughey, because it just, whoever his publicist is or whoever his manager is, can I get him for anything in my life or her?
A show that coined the term McConaissance.
McConaissance and flat times of flat round
times
sphere.
Of flat circle.
Yeah, times of flat circle. Circle.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a break and we're going to go address some of the other great things of 2014. All right, so we opened up a few questions on our Facebook to the audience, and we wanted to get a little poll from them about what they thought about 2014, basically. First one we kind of discussed was, what was your favorite new show of 2014? And I think for a lot, most for us, at least, mm-hmm. we can clearly point to Fargo, Nick, True Detective. As being the top ones for us.
Yeah. And you could say you're the worst for me.
Sure.
Silicon Valley.
What our audience said, let's see, Gregory Matthew Ramirez mm-hmm. said The Flash, said it's so exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were toggling between Fargo and True Detective.
Yep.
Someone said How to Get Away with Murder, Silicon Valley, you're the worst. Now, I haven't seen How to Get Away with Murder. Have you guys?
No, I'm not going to watch that show.
I'm curious because I see actually a couple people that like are really into that show.
I mean, there's the Sean, and I'm very happy, and I think it's great for diversity, and I think what she does is great, but I think in a weird way I'm beyond like I'm just a little bit more sophisticated because that reminds me of TV like from the 90s and late 80s where you have like the David Kellys and all that stuff who had their brand and they put those shows out or Darren Star and I'm like okay that's great but I'm not into that kind of hyper drama anymore.
Okay. Right. So what were some other ones that new shows this year that didn't make our top 5 list?
Transparent. You're the Worst and Married. On FX.
I never watched those, but you guys have so much.
You're the Worst is to me has taken the notch up of what TV romantic comedies are to the point that's why I can't watch New Girl anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I can't watch like anything that tries that anymore. It's like You're the Worst is the best because it's the most realistic and it's hilarious.
A to Z is the closest it can get because A to Z is like the aspirational romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Worst was the realistic romantic comedy. It's like, this is what it's actually like, dark and bleak, but yet sweet.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Really, really good. Review on Comedy Central was really funny.
Yeah.
I loved that show. It's so good.
Silicon Valley.
Well, that again, HBO. Silicon Valley. One great. Of the best scenes ever. That last scene. That is just genius. And then him when he comes out in that episode, it's like, okay, I want this. I want Baby Gandhi me here, and I want this here. He killed me. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Cosmos, I think, is another one I wanted to at least mention because that was show awesome. Was beautiful.
Yeah,
to watch.
I just fell off of it.
It was gorgeous. I thought it was fun and informative. It wasn't necessarily going to be in my highest list, but I appreciate what it did. I think it's a great thing to have on network TV.
I think
educational.
Yes, and it makes you say I have to get an either. I got to get a new HD TV, or I'm so glad I've got HD TV.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a gorgeous show.
Randy?
I think I covered one, mine. Oh,
okay.
Much.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our next category, which was what is the best returning TV show of 2014? So, once again, we kind of already addressed this.
Right.
But I wanted to hit on some of the other things that our audience mentioned. People said Game of Thrones, of course. Legend of Korra for some.
Huh, okay.
Orange is the New Black. Shameless. Hannibal. We didn't even mention Hannibal.
No, Hannibal's on my list, but it's a little ways down. And that's not because it's bad. It's just there's so much other stuff.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Bridge,
yeah,
Homeland. Actually, I've been hearing Homeland
oh,
is impressive.
Oh, I didn't even, you know what? If there's the most improved show,
yeah.
Homeland is...
Homeland or Walking Dead.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. Homeland, I mean, once they got rid of Carrie's personal nonsense and went straight to the espionage with what's going on now, it is awesome.
Yeah.
This last episode... I screamed. I woke Helene up, said, "Holy shit!" And then woke her up. She watched it, and she goes, "Holy shit!" Because of just what happens at the end. It's that good now.
Wow.
Yes, it's gotten that better.
I've been hearing that a lot from people. And, I mean, once again, I got to give it up to Walking Dead
for
doing a complete turnaround and, like, making everything on that show great again for critics.
It's kind of like these showrunners just said, yeah.
Not to diss people that were liking it beforehand, but...
Well, I mean,
but you were wrong.
But there are people that were kind of like, you could tell that either they were listening or, and I think it's a combination of crowdsourcing and also this looking at the stories and like, why are we doing this with the shit with the story here? We should just pin it down to what it was about. So whether it was Walking Dead or Homeland.
Veep, I got to say, also really brought it again this season. I think that they're getting stronger and stronger with their comedy and it's just so tightly packed.
One of the beautiful things about the holidays is they keep running shows again, so so you'll go and I'll catch the random Veep and just start dying laughing again, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's so good. Plus, I don't know, I have the biggest crush on Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I've had it since she was on Saturday Night Live.
Had it since I found out how much money she has.
And besides the fact the woman's a billionaire. And just, I mean, it's just like, is there a hotter billionaire on the planet? And just somebody you just don't think about.
Digger.
Yeah, me too, for her. The only problem is that her husband is a really cool guy and very funny too, Brad Hall.
That sucks.
I know.
She's not going to leave him for me?
No.
A couple other comedies I wanted to point out were Louis and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
How did we, again, Louis was brilliant. It was brilliant. Yep. Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
a great season.
Yeah,
it's a
great season.
They had a great first season.
Community came back with Dan Harmon,
and it
killed this season again.
Yeah,
you know what? This is really bizarre. I guess I watched it.
Oh, really?
Did I watch it?
I don't remember you.
I don't think I
thinking
did.
Of it as fondly.
Now,
remember that '70s weird '70s exploitation type movie or episode?
I don't think
it was Zardoz.
It was okay. It was okay. Now, see, that shows you how much I didn't really think. It was okay. I had moments, but this wasn't. It kind of got.
That's another great comeback.
It was a great return to form
in relation to the season before that.
Yeah,
had those other goobers,
which I didn't even watch that season before.
Almost Human. Wanted to give a little shout out to that because I thought that was
I liked
was that
it
this
show.
Year.
Yes,
that
it was
a great show.
I thought it was great, and
sadly fallen.
I mean, the fact that they canceled that, and then yet FX kept. And I liked Tyrant. It was okay. It got good, really good at the end. But I'm like, really?
Well, Almost Human was Fox. It wasn't FX.
Yeah. They should have made it
blah,
over
blah, blah.
To FX,
this is
though.
Fox FX. I'll think of them as one now.
Yeah. All right. Let's move into our. This is a fun category here. What was the worst TV show of 2014?
I don't even remember.
The worst TV show of 2014? Okay, now, the only reason why I'll say this is because I still haven't finished it. And
is it Girls again?
No. I stopped watching the show. No, but it should be like the worst show that we've watched or we're watching or slipped off for us. And I would say shows that slipped, Modern Family has slipped for me. And I have to say, Masters of Sex has slipped for me. I'm not even sure why.
Masters of Sex is a little bit disappointing.
I'm not even sure why.
Now, this is personal for me.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get the hate from it.
Go ahead.
But Archer, I did not like this season.
I didn't like it either.
It was a weak season. It's really down on my list of shows.
They had such a great premise in them becoming coke dealers.
Yep.
And they blew it.
They blew it.
Yeah, they did.
They played it safe and they played it stupid. And yeah. They were repetitive with all their jokes ad nauseum.
Yeah.
It was a weak season. It was
very,
a weak
very season. Disappointing. Yep. Our audience mentions Mulaney, of course.
Yeah. Estelon? I actually tried watching it, and it was terrible.
Mysteries of Laura.
Terrible.
Gotham, which Randy could probably point to.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bad Judge, Scorpion, Killer Women, Stalker.
Anything the networks did, almost, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just write ABC, NBC.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
How'd I forget?
What?
Chosen.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. You know, that was terrible.
You know you forgot? Because it was the most forgettable show this year.
That was so bad.
It wasn't even bad so much as it's so forgettable.
It was bad.
Who remembers it?
I remember it because it was how bad and how disgusting it was and just how, like, weirdly homophobic it was.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, I don't know.
Despite him being gay, it was like they used that as leverage to make all those jokes.
Yeah, I never liked that kind of comedy.
All right. Our last category for 2014, we want to discuss... Who are our favorite TV characters? So this can transcend the show itself. And
right.
Do you guys want to start off?
Yeah, I got sort of a list here. And the obvious ones are Lauren Malvo and Molly Silverson from Fargo.
Yeah.
Russ Cole. Russ Cole's a great character.
Of course.
Marty
Hart's a great character. Oberyn Martell from Game of Thrones was really well realized. A little bit outside this.
He was.
Dr. Bedelia Dumouriez on Hannibal. That is Gillian Anderson's character.
Okay.
Oh, I did not know her name.
I didn't either. I looked it up on IMDb.
That's a rough name.
I love that character on because you don't know where she is. You're pretty sure where everybody else is, you know, on the spectrum on there, but you don't know where she is, and I think that's interesting.
I didn't get to see a whole lot of her.
And then,
I thought that Hannibal himself this season was intense.
I've also got several superhero, both Cisco and the Flash himself on the Flash. I really like Felicity Smoke on Arrow.
Cisco, go on your favorite.
I love Cisco. I think Cisco's great.
Yeah,
I cannot think of Cisco other than the black bad rapper with the terrible.
Cisco adds a very important element of fun that makes the Flash as good as it is.
Yeah,
Bobby Morse on S.H.I.E.L.D. One of my favorite comic characters. Adrian Palicki is doing a great job, and she's really energized that show.
She really is. In fact, she brings like another like elevated element of class to it.
Yep. Yep. And then
spooky with her.
On comedies, you got to talk about Terry on 9-9.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
Captain Ray Holt.
And then Lindsay, Heather Donahue from You're the Worst.
Yeah. Oh.
I love her.
I got a little crush on her.
Yeah.
She's great.
That's my list.
We got V from Orange is the New Black.
Great nemesis.
People in the comments mentioned Zaheer from Legends of Korra.
Okay, yeah. Good, bad guy.
There's some people that are all about Legend of Korra. And
I'm behind Legends of Korra, but I like what I've seen.
Someone mentioned Jesse Pinkman, which I'd go, that was 2013.
That was 2013, yeah. Breaking Bad was not aired in 2014. Maybe he means Jesse Pinkman from the Xbox commercials.
Yeah. Tyrion still has to go on that
road. Of course.
He just murders it every single time.
Get it?
Actually, I've got a couple from The Bridge. Fausto Galvan and Caesar, his buddy. When they're on the run, they are some of the funniest guys. They're so macabrely funny.
Really?
Like when Fausto is holed up and he's just thinking about fjords and going to Finland. He's like, I just want to go to Finland. I've never seen a fjord. He's just crazy. obviously, John Thackeray
Just, no, in fact, I thought all of them. Him was what's his name? Algernon.
Algernon was great.
Is that his name?
Algernon. He's the black doctor who Thackeray just he ends
every
up working with.
Every scene he's in, that actor he's got such intensity. It was just captivating. And Randy, once again, I'd like to point out, you only watched the first episode.
Yeah.
You didn't really see much of this.
Yeah. No. I'm way behind the Nick. That is a hole in my
Andre Holland is
Andre
it.
Holland.
And you know what? Who haven't mentioned that actually is one of my favorite ones too is Rectify's Daniel.
Yeah.
Because he's such.
I think his sister's better than him.
Well, his sister gets on my nerve. Like the character, she's a great actress because she plays that character that's supposed to be like kind of like
that person you don't like.
Yeah, well, and then you see the way it ends up, or she kind of has to face the way she is. But Daniel, like when he went to Atlanta,
yeah,
and just pretending to be somebody else, and just everything, even you know, what's that actor's
name? That show's
full
of good characters.
He has to play such a wooden character for a little while that when he gets to kind of let loose a little more,
right. The guy at the party that he went to, that character was great too. And I'm totally forgetting that guy. He's in everything. He was in Deadwood. What is that guy's name? But he was, you know, the party he went to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And Mulaney, let's not forget about him. He was excellent this year. Once again, want to rub salt for on Mulaney. That wound.
You know what? Screw him. He's rich.
He'll get another show. I saw Mulaney on like Jimmy Kimmel or something, and he was talking about how the show wasn't doing that well. And he's you know, mostly I feel bad that people aren't enjoying it because we had a good time making it.
Right.
But he was clearly aware that it's not good.
And wait, and how did we not mention anybody off of Justified? Still, I still love Raylan.
It was a weaker year for Justified.
Yeah, but I still love Raylan. Oh, sure. I still love Boyd.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, one other person I'd like to mention is Carol from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I think of anyone,
she's scary.
She's a bona fide badass.
The MVP of that show, even more so than Daryl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She surpassed Daryl.
No, she's. I think Daryl's scared of her.
Yeah. You know, and actually, Chad Coleman's Tyrese was really good on Walking Dead this year too.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah, so there we go, guys. 2014 has been a phenomenal year. We are very excited to discuss in our future episode what we got looking forward in 2015. But, they got their work cut out for them, I think, 2015.
I actually think it can even be better.
If networks can get their
Fuck networks. I'm just thinking about streaming services. I'm thinking about what they're picking up. I'm thinking about what HBO's got coming up. I'm thinking about just the finales of the season to come up. I am in the can for all those shows now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I just can't wait to see all the movies that are being adapted.
I can wait.
I can't wait for Big the TV show.
Oh boy,
ladies and gentlemen listening, thank you for tuning in. Randy, thank you for being here. Thank you for 2014.
Yeah.
Greg, thank you for 2014.
Back at you, Grant.
Grant, thank you for putting this together.
Mm-hmm. We kicked off our website, actually, in 2014. Branched off from the now defunct Lounge Geeks and started our own thing here. And it's been going good. We appreciate you, the audience, sticking with us through all that. As we kind of grow and evolve, figure out what we really want to do. We've changed the show and our format a bit, too.
Yep. You've been on like 4 years or five?
I think about five.
Five years.
It's been a little while.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We certainly got more changes in store for 2015, and we got another episode before 2014's even over.
Yep.
But once again, please post your comments on the page on thetvdudes.com. Let us know what you think, and give us that iTunes 5-star review. That really does help us out. Until next week, guys.
TV Dudes out.
And don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complications.
and take the trip. Though there may be wet roads ahead and you cannot slip, just move on up, for peace you can find. Into the steeple of beautiful people where there's only one kind. So hush now, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Move on up and keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only scheme, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, no mistake, say that you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it. Child, but just a move.